Blog Talk Radio.
From the stolen voter IDs of Donana County to the menace of driverless cars and transmitting from a broad, squat, solar panel-covered, single-wide trailer. 6:06, and today is the 4th of June. It's getting real warm there. 69 degrees, according to my source right now. It's a little bit warm last night, even. And so today's high, 99, could be breaking 100. And let's face it, 68 degrees ain't too low tonight, but we're supposed to be due possibly for a little bit of rain in the next couple of days. So anyway, we've got this story on the Sun News, voter rolls were tapped, which is kind of alarming, that information was stolen from voters in Dona Ana County. And it is just another, ID theft type thing. But it's alarming because there doesn't seem to be any way to protect all of this information that they have out there. Now, they're fighting back against, or at least Rand Paul is fighting back out there against this total blanket taking of information from phone calls and emails and texts. But think about, when they get all of the Obamacare stuff online, in theory, and all of the other places that have online information, it's going to put more and more of your stuff out there for thieves to take. And what can you say? It's almost as if there's no reason to even protect your ID anymore, under the theory that somebody's going to steal it eventually anyway. Got a story out of the East. A gentleman was killed when he was trying to supposedly go kill Pam Geller, who is the person who's I think I mentioned this to you. I had written one article for her a long time ago in 2007, but she runs a blog, but she's the called Atlas Shrugged. She's the one who put the cartoon thing together in Texas. And I got a little bit on CNN about that. But question is, and you know the answer, you know my opinion on this, whether they're doing enough about ISIS overseas. And the argument was made before, and I don't think necessarily it was ever disproved, that if we're fighting Islam overseas, the most radical elements, it might keep them from being more involved over here. But let's play a little bit of this story for you. CNN breaking story. Boston suspect plotted to behead Pamela Geller. The lady did the Muhammad cartoon right outside of Dallas just a few weeks ago. Anyway, I'm sure you know where this interview is heading, but they're trying to kill Pam Geller. What I find interesting about these stories is how easy it is to draw these people into, killing themselves or getting, do suicide by cop or whatever you want to call it. Guy's name was Usama Rahim. And he was fatally shot after waving a military knife at law enforcement officers in Boston. And he was originally plotting to behead Pam Geller. So a couple things to bear in mind. I'm sure, as everybody knows, the war with Islam is only going to get worse, or the war with ISIS, whatever you want to call it. is only going to get worse. It is getting worse. And, you know, this lady on CNN is kind of taking the posture, we cannot provoke these people. Outside of whether you agree with Pam Geller for doing the cartoon contest, possibly think that we're going to be safe in the country by adapting to these people, the radicals. You cannot possibly think that the way to freedom and security, safety, is by simply agreeing to whatever their standards are. And I mean, we're talking about a culture that is 1,000 years old that has never updated, and we're supposed to adapt to them, and we're supposed to get rid of our freedom of speech. I mean, whether you agree with how she used her freedom of speech, it is indisputable that Pam Geller didn't do anything violent, and that the people who came and tried to kill her, who were wanted to die as jihadis, were inspired by words or by paintings. So, I mean, it just strikes me as a terrible way to start off a conversation to say, you threw the first stone, or you know, because actually what we say is sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. And these are just words. They're just paintings. If we can't uphold this standard in our society, our goose is cooked. And it is not for people from other countries or foreigners who come in here to tell us how to live our lives, right? Or converts in this country. Anyway, 616, this is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some weather stories you'll find interesting. And I'll get into this stolen voter ID because it has to do with the scam. And by the way, I've got a very interesting fact when we come back about these people that were arrested at the county clerk's office. I'm sorry, I thought there was nothing on the air. All right, so we've got this lady that's involved in this scam who admits that she gleaned Maria Ceniceros, 42, of Anthony, admitted to federal agents she picked through the Dona Ana County voter registration database records on her work computer to, quote, glean names, birth dates, and social security numbers to supply to scam organizers in Mexico. And these guys in Mexico then took this and they used it to create fake tax returns. So, whoa! I mean, this is a big article if you want to get the Sun News and kind of go over it. But here is a recap. This is one that I had not found before, but a recap of the arrest down there. And check it out. All right. So this is an ongoing investigation, and so we're going to find out a lot more in the coming days. According to the to KOB, they, not to be confused with KOBE, they did a search of two vehicles and found thousands of dollars of cash late Tuesday night. And this is just a few days ago. Four of these people in this ring are called low-level workers in the county clerk's office. And 42-year-old Maria Ceniceros, who admitted to stealing the IDs to use for tax returns, was a document technician in the office. So now they're saying they can't really say that there has been ID fraud or theft, but I mean, that seems like kind of a ridiculous, this is voter ID theft. It's it's ID theft using voter rolls. And one of the things that Ben Rawson told me was that they had found hundreds of thousands of dollars in, I think it was El Paso. I have not seen that in any of the stories yet. So, but the story from KVIA says that they, on this raid Tuesday, found large amounts of cash in the vehicle belonging to Maria Ceniceros, the same lady. And Armando Gutierrez Torres, who worked with Maria Ceniceros, delivered checks that were gleaned from IDs used to create fraudulent tax returns. And he couldn't be booked because of ill health, but he's also been charged. The people investigating this, which the investigation began in mid-May, after the sheriff's office received info that a female at the clerk's office had talked to another employee with an offer to make some extra money if they would help agree to deposit tax return checks into a personal bank account in exchange for a cut of the action. So that's how that investigation started. So this is certainly a federal issue too, and not just state. So I'm sure the feds are involved in this. Anyway, is a little bit on the story. We'll come back and talk some more about it. And this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 627. It's about 70 degrees right now. 99 is the high and 68 is the low. We're getting warmer. It's 6:31, and just going over this story that has a lot of details in it about the clerk's office where the ID was stolen, and it was done on work time. The clerk involved admitted that it was done on work time. So now, Lynn Ellens said that they may have to change some policy. He can't give any details. Ongoing investigation, you know. He says we had a bad egg, but that doesn't mean the system has to be changed. Oh, maybe they're not going to change anything. But, I mean, isn't that bad eggs? I mean, isn't it like four bad eggs? I mean, if you're going to get technical. Jess Williams is saying that if you feel like your ID may have been compromised, you can go to the website for such things, identitytheftnetwork.org, resource map, New Mexico. Just look up Identity Theft Network. According to Williams, these were long-term employees. and they're going to have to fix this voter situation. We're one of only four states that requires Social Security numbers to be given fully, and there's no reason for that, I guess, so that we can change that. And there was 100. Now, here's what I don't get. How do you say that, don't worry, your voter ID or your ID wasn't stolen? We were just, you know, they were just borrowing it to make tax returns. That doesn't mean that it's stolen. To me, that is exactly what it means. They went to Senizera's home and found 8 loose leaf pages of paper in a dresser containing names, Social Security numbers, and birth dates for 111 people. So, and not only that, but this paperwork was missing pages, so that they were know that there's more out there. And she started doing this, Senizera started doing this in November or December in 2014. So it's been going on for a good 6, 7, 8 months. And Senizera is saying that the scam originated in Mexico, and people were seeking people born in 1995 for some weird reason. And Ellen's is saying that because they were targeting people born in 1995, that it's going to make it an easier job to find the information. But I mean, that's not going to give anybody any comfort. I can't imagine that they would only steal the ID of people born in 1995. I don't know why they focused on that year when they were 19 or 20. Now, Senizera has said that it took months to compile a list because she had to be careful and could only write down a few identities daily. So once this was put into the IRS, then the IRS took the information and mailed out these checks. So, all right, so this is kind of a weird story, but, you know, I mean, basically, this is very, I mean, bearing in mind that it is kind of a weird thing to have happened, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty Riley.
Hey, what's up, Patty?
Hey, not much. Are we still going to allow them to tax us as high as they are so they can pay themselves a big fat salaries? I mean, seriously, are we this stupid? Everybody needs to wake up and say no. And if it's going up to Santa Fe, you need to tell the governor no, too. She's up to some rotten crap, too. I'm finding out. I'll let y'all know because nobody else is doing it.
Patty, what is the, well, hold on. What are you claiming? Well, there we go. The governor is up to some rotten crap, although she couldn't give any details. So I wonder what Patty is going to do about the tax rate. All right. So, yeah, just looking for any other details on this thing that you might find interesting. Oh, and here is probably the most interesting part of it today. The employees are on administrative leave. How does that make you feel? Administrative leave. Okay. All right. So they're still being paid. Kelly O'Connell, 636. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. Feel free to vent here. Call in, yell, shout, cry, hang up. Doesn't matter. This is your free speech venue. And about 70 degrees out there. We'll be right back. All right. There is a. Believe it or not, like a hurricane coming up the other side of Mexico on the Pacific side. So I've got a little bit of information on that if you haven't heard about it. And a few little clips here from the Weather Channel, who they seem to be able to put real, very short clips with a lot of information together in them. But they don't know if there's going to be much of an impact, but they say it's threatening the Baja Peninsula this weekend. And one of these one of these clips here says it's targeting California, which would be wonderful news for them, unless it's a bunch of floods, which we've already seen. So let me get that for you here. But it's a hurricane, and yeah, I'd say, but this small hurricane with a tiny eye, a little rat eye, a little spider eye. So hopefully, in an ideal world, this hurricane comes in, doesn't hit too hard. They say by the time it makes land, that right now it's like supposedly a Category 5 or whatever, but it's a small enough hurricane that when it hits land, it should be down to maybe 50 miles an hour, and then all that moisture will sweep across the desert into California and then over here. That's my perfect scenario. But I've got a few little clips here for you. So let's check this out on the hurricane coming on the other side. All right, not as strong as I recalled reading last night, but here's a little more. And this is on what this storm could do. Check it out. And one last little clip here on it, which is hopefully, yeah, like I say, get into California, hit some of that drought and hit us over here and give us a little more moisture. Well, I think we covered that already. So anyway, basically we've got a hurricane on the other side of Mexico. It's not really that far from us, but it's not headed in the direction of crossing Mexico this way. It's headed possibly up the Baja Peninsula, and then hopefully it'll come into the lower southwest, break apart a little bit, and float over here and give us some more rain without soaking. Not soaking Texas too much. All right, so I'm going to give you a little bit on the NBA Finals. Here is a preview. They're coming up. People are excited. We got Steph Curry on one side, and Steph Curry has been called by a number of prominent basketball players the best shooter they have ever seen. He's a 6'3 guard. His father was Del Curry, who was also a sharpshooter. And he's the MVP this year, and he's a spectacular player. He can hit a shot, a three-pointer. He can drive. He can do anything within a very small amount of space. And then you got LeBron. You got the King, who's covered. He's covered with not just MVPs, four MVPs himself and a couple of championships, but he's also covered with tattoos. But check this out. Here's a little analysis. ESPN. All right, so anyway... it seems like pretty equally balanced here. Now, I would say that if you saw the player that was pulled out by his arm out of this during this game, Love, and his arm came out of socket and he had to have surgery, that guy was a spectacular player in terms of rebounding and inside scoring. And if you saw that play, it certainly looked in the last round, it certainly looked for he plays for Cleveland, certainly looked like it was a purposeful injury. It was terrible to watch, and the poor guy couldn't play in the finals. But I think I'm going to have to go out on a limb here based on experience. I don't know if I can pick Cleveland. I'm undecided, really. I think both teams have a pretty good chance to win it. It's 6:50. It's 69 degrees or 70 degrees, 99 out there for the high. 68's the low. And it's AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. I've got a little bit on driverless cars when we come back. You're not going to believe that we've been sold a bill of goods again. I saw this couple of articles and thought you might find it notable. The couple of issues that have come up in driverless cars, which they say are going to be here by 2020, something like that, 2025. Believe it or not, though there have been a number of accidents, that's one issue, but believe it or not, they've got a report that has just come out of the Observer on the innovation section, Google's driverless cars, which I guess are driven by, you know, these maps they put together and sensor devices and stuff. I don't know exactly how they work, but you can imagine that they... Here's the title of this article. Self-driving cars will cause motion sickness, often, quote, to always, the study finds. Now, there's three different things that cause people to feel car sick, but one of them is either not being in control of the motion that the vehicle is going, so being a passenger, and this could be related to another one in which your eyes are not tracking the direction that you're moving. So if you're sitting, for example, in the back seat of a car and you're driving or you're reading, you're not watching or anything, and the car is moving, then it is possible that you would get car sick because you're not really tracking. Now, here is a report on 11 crashes from Fox News. There have been 11 crashes at least. Well, I don't know. I just, you get the sense here. We got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
That is Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, I just have a comment on your driverless cars.
Yes.
I have a sneaking suspicion that they are headed for the same fate as the flying car and the boat car.
Huh.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I'd rather have a boat car than a driverless car, but so you don't think they're going to make it, huh?
Well, I'm trying to envision the L.A. freeway at rush hour with about a million driverless cars on the road. I just somehow have a feeling this is not going to turn out well.
Scary, very scary. Especially when you bear in mind that they don't have a steering wheel. They don't have
right.
A... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. You're right.
Okay, Bill. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah. We're running out of time, but thanks a lot. So, folks, no steering wheel, no gas pedal, no brake. Would you be comfortable in a car like that? Doesn't that seem like the way America in general is going? We're hurtling into basically the darkness with all these great new theories that are being tried, and we don't know if they're going to work or not, such as dumping a bunch of people from the Middle East across various towns, small towns across the nation, just to see if that's going to work out. Driverless car, no brake, no input from the driver, no gas, no steering wheel, in case there's an emergency. 6:59 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call, and we'll be back for the second hour. And it is about 70 degrees outside. And yeah, it's pretty nice, but it's going to heat up here. And it's going to be almost 100 degrees, maybe 99 degrees. And then you're going to see around a little bit under 70 tonight, if all things go according to plan. Let me get to some headlines for you. We were talking earlier about this scam down at the county clerk's office in which they were taking the IDs of, weirdly enough, of people born in 1995 and using those to make tax profiles so that they could send this in and get a refund. Now, maybe they were doing it from people in 95 because they wanted people without much work history. Who knows? But anyway, that's the story. And they had eight or more pages of people born during that year that they were using the information on to get money. So anyway, and the scam came out of Mexico. All right, some of your headlines here. Greece on a collision course with Europe as time is running out for a deal on their debt. And a couple of the options. Number one, Greece could leave the Euro, European Union. They could declare insolvency, of course. They could get a bond deal or a deal on their debt, maybe with somebody like Germany or France. But this has been going on for a long time, so it's been a long time coming. We're often told that Europe is the model that we should be trying to emulate in terms of socialism or in terms of social welfare or whatever. In the meantime, the unemployment rates in places like Spain and Greece are around 25% or higher, which would rival the highest levels of unemployment in the United States during the Great Depression. So I don't believe that is the way forward. The Catholic Church is running out of priests, therefore they're importing them from Africa and Asia for their churches. What do you think about that? And Rubio is going up as there are doubts about Jeb Bush. Stu Rothenberger, who's a big big-time political analyst, is saying the GOP's history of establishment picks could be over. You might not see Jeb Bush winning this particular preliminary round. All right. I got a couple of stories that I thought would be notable or interesting for you. One of which is that I'll just kind of throw them out there in no particular order. The overpopulation bomb is really bombed, and there is no such thing as overpopulation. And even the New York Times is finally admitting it. Now, overpopulation is part of the story that they tell for global warming, right? They're so overpopulated. We're using too much fuel. We're raping and plundering the ground for our food with cows and, you know, whatever. Our businesses are creating too much pollution, too much heat. Our machines, our factories. And in fact, that is, according to the latest thinking on this, there is no overpopulation. So we'll get into that a little bit. The question is, another one is, ISIS winning? And have we stopped winning wars, or why have we stopped winning wars? There's an article in The Atlantic on that. I think it's pretty much worth thinking about. If we're involved in warfare and we get involved in these contests, if we're not with the world's strongest military, if we're not markedly dominating these contests, is there a reason why? And they say, yeah, there is a reason why, because we have adopted these politically correct models for how to fight, how to engage the enemy. We're now doing it in such a way that it, you know, may, I guess, supposed to make it fair or whatever, but the upshot is that these fights are, I mean, we should be absolutely wiping out ISIS right now. The only thing that Americans have said repeatedly is we want to wipe out ISIS. We want to, according to the Washington Times, Angelo Codvilla, Americans want to kill ISIS, that's all. I think that's probably a pretty accurate statement. So why are we not seemingly winning these wars that we're involved in, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever, Syria? Why would it be that we wouldn't be winning? It's kind of a strange thing. So it's because of our theories that we're bringing in. Now, in particular, people want to go in and blow the devil out of ISIS. And we're not doing that right now. People are frustrated. They don't know what America stands for in terms of ISIS or in terms of world foreign policy. Why be involved in something like that if we're not planning on taking these people out? So I mean, why would we want to be just another player in a game that we could totally dominate when the stakes are so high? So that's a story I'll get into a little bit. Crimes and cop bashing. Is there a new crime wave on the horizon? And is it being caused by the bashing of police from the highest levels? The doubting of the police, the attacks against the police, whether it's from the White House, whether it's from state authorities in places like Baltimore, it is getting worse. And they say the police are now reluctant to engage in interactions with these people because with the criminals, because of these new rules that are coming out in a new sense that the state is not going to back up. The state expects the police to go out there and do their job. And yet, when they try to do that, then they're being accused of crimes and that type of thing. Now, I've got probably the creme de la creme topic, which I'll only be able to get into in any depth one or two of these things, but I thought I would let you know what some of the stuff that I had kind of lined up. Sex, marriage, and divorce. Talking about Bruce Jenner, there's a couple of things here. The divorce rates for gay couples are absolutely through the roof, and there's not a lot of big-term studies on this. The best ones are coming out of Scandinavia, the far northern regions of Europe where they've been working on this for a long time. Divorce rate for gay men is 45% higher than straights. The divorce rate for lesbians is 167% higher than straights over the same period of time. And comparing lesbians to gay men, the rate of lesbian divorce is something like 200% higher. So the divorce rate for men, gay men, is very high. The divorce rate for lesbians is absolutely through the roof. Now, why that is, there's a number of, and here the article that I'm getting this from is IMAP Policy Brief, and this is from 2004, but I think the biggest study that they've done on these gay marriages. So put that in mind with the situation that's going on with Bruce Jenner. Now, I've got another story from a guy by the name of Walt Heyer who actually had a sex change, and in his experience of it, he found out that he was not a woman trapped in a man's body. Not only that, he claims he was kind of pushed into getting this operation because when he was a kid, he had some unhappy experiences that led him to doubt his masculinity. Anyway, he would tell anybody, don't get a sex change. It doesn't work. And so that is a few of the things I've got lined up for today in the next 45 minutes, I guess. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in on any of these topics, but I'm going to get into a little bit of Walt Heyer and his sex change experience when we come back. It's 7:20. It is the 4th of May of June, and 69, 70 degrees outside, 99 or 100 the high today, 68 below. Going to be a warm one, probably the warmest day of the year. Now, I've got for you a guy that claims to be banned from American TV. Once you hear his story, you might understand why. He is part of a movement called Sex Change Regret. And bearing in mind Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner being in the news and how Bruce Jenner is claiming his life would be incomplete if he died without changing his sex. Here's a little bit on Walt Heyer and his transgender journey. Can you hear this? And most people know that things in Canada are pretty liberal, but I think it's becoming just as liberal in America pretty quickly. All right, here is Walt Heyer, sex change regret, a little bit more from him in that he's had a sex change. He's now transitioned back to male. He was sexually abused. He was treated as a, he was dressed up as a little girl by his grandmother. And he says, sex changes are the result of childhood trauma and these type of things. And Bruce Jenner admitted he loved to dress up in his mother's underwear when he was a kid. So Walt Heyer, he's been there. He's done it. He's come back to tell you about it. And it's Walt Heyer, and I've got one more little clip here. Then we're gonna going to talk to, after a brief intermission, we're going to talk to some local business people that I thought you might find interesting how they built up their business, a House of Chimes. But here's one more little clip from Walt Heyer on his sex change regret, a guy that actually had a sex change and has studied it and found out there's more pain and misery in sex changes, and that a lot of people, the vast majority of these people, are psychiatric patients who need intensive care of some kind. Well, he mentioned these in his other clip, but the main thing to bear in mind is when they have found that when people, and this is Dr. Paul McHugh had talked about this, who was the head of the first clinic at Johns Hopkins to do sex changes. He said that, bearing in mind that the people that got sex changes and wanted sex changes, after they got the surgery, they might have been superficially pleased with the results, but they still had deep-rooted psychological problems that not only didn't go away, but that were literally not addressed by the surgery, and that if they had been addressed, that probably a lot of these people wouldn't wanted to have changed their gender. It almost seems like something to take the mind off of deeper issues, depression, manic depressiveness, gender identity issues, all kinds of different things. Anyway, it is right now 7:34 on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And we'll be back. We're going to talk to some folks who started a local business that has been able to sell nationally. You know, I invited him on the show to hear the story. It's pretty interesting. House of Chimes. And we'll be right back.
How you guys doing?
Good. Good to hear. So talking like this is not going to work. You understand? So you have to be like this. Yeah, so just pull it up a little. Pull it up a little. That whole thing. No, the whole thing. Yeah, don't. Never mind. Just. people tend, maybe it's nerves or maybe they're not really thinking these things sideways and they're breaking them and they're popping the springs off, and it's like, then they blame it on me. It is 7:38 and 69 degrees out there, about 70, going to be around 100 today and a low of 68. And I've got the Jarvies here, and the Jarvies have the House of Chimes, and they built it from nothing, and it is a top-notch chime and cup and anything you can make that is made out of porcelain. They are up in Oregon. So, good morning to you, Sharon and Monty. How you doing?
I'm doing
just fine. Thank you.
Good, good. Okay. So, just to let people know, what is the House of Chimes?
Well, House of Chimes is a manufacturing company. We sell wholesale only. And we've been at it here for 25 years. And it goes all the way from coffee cups to tiles to chilies. All those kinds of things. So,
and how did you guys get? How long have you been in the area?
We've been in this area about 27 years.
And how did you get involved in manufacturing cups and chimes and stuff?
Well, my sister-in-law and I went to Arizona to do a show, and at that time I was doing statues, and I was chalking them and things like that. And the people that we stayed with, Mike had suggested that we do wind chimes, and I said, oh, wind chimes? No. So anyway, we came back, and I told Monty, you know, that Mike wants us to do some wind chimes. So we went, we did three, and I went back up to do another show, and I came back with about, I don't know, $20,000 worth of orders.
Wow. So how did, I mean, what was the, so you're staying with this guy.
Yeah, him and his wife.
And but why did he suggest you make a wind chime? Impetus, or what was the nudge?
Okay, well, they were originally from Michigan. They were sales reps, and they had a company back there that they were selling for. But Mike said that they closed up because they got too busy, and they couldn't handle it. In other words, they went and did themselves in, more or less.
So they started a business and it got too busy and they decided to close it?
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Oh, they went broke.
Yes.
All right. That part makes sense.
Yes.
So they were very busy, but they went broke.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. Now, and they said that you should take over what we were doing. Is that what they were saying?
No. Mike suggested that, you know, for us, a chai of the wind chimes. So, you know, instead of my statues, were very expensive because they took a long time to do. But so we did. And from there, it's just been a gold mine for us. It's just been one thing right after another.
Okay, so first wind chimes, and then you started to make cups, or?
Well, then we just kind of went out. Bonnie went out and sold. And, I mean, he sold good. He came back with big orders for us. And they were strictly the bells. Well, then pretty soon we started doing vases and, you know, coyotes and cactuses and things like that.
Okay.
So it just kind of, all it has done is just kept growing.
it's gotten bigger and bigger. How did you consider yourself an artistic person if you were making statues?
Oh, yes.
Very much so.
Yes. I have taught ceramics.
You've taught ceramics. Yep. Okay. And how did you learn to do ceramics?
On my own. And then, classes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you just had an idea. If you would have an idea, would you just sit down with some clay and start kind of making it? Or if you had an idea for a wind chime or a new cup or whatever, what would you, or some sort of a figurine, how would you actually come up with a prototype?
Well, we kind of have a company that makes the molds for us. We wanted a large spoon rest, and we had a company make it for us.
Chinese companies?
No.
No.
American.
American companies. All right. How did, Monty, how did you guys develop a clientele? How did you begin to find people that were interested in your products?
Well, I went out to, I told Sharon, I said, okay, we got to get moving. So I went to Skaggs at that time, and I knew the guy. His name was Dennis. And I asked him, I said, I have do wind chimes, but I would like to put them in your store on the rack for, give you about 60 days guaranteed just to sell them. I don't know how to go from the rack to the cashier without getting broken into the metal carts. So he said, well, okay, let's put them in. About 2 weeks later, he calls me up and he says, what are you going to do with this rack? And I said, well, are they all broke? And he said, no, we sold them all. We need more. So that's how it started with Skaggs. And then all the Skaggs wanted to store.
Skaggs being a supermarket in the West. Okay. They used to be in Vegas. So so it was, did you foresee that you would sell out so quickly?
No, I didn't. I thought that's why I gave them 60 days guaranteed sales. I figured probably wouldn't sell them that fast. I figured 60 days, if we're lucky, it was something new. So I went to the government bases and I got bases, and I went to Target and I got them. And eventually we had 9 people working for us.
Interesting. Okay, so we're talking to the Jarvies about the House of Chimes. Kelly O'Connell, Show AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. And we're going to come back and talk to them a little bit more about some ideas on setting up your own business. It's 7:44. It's about 70 degrees. We'll be right back. Savannah? Kelly here. It's 1450 KOB, and I've got Monty and Sharon Jarvis on, and they've got the House of Chimes. All right, we can't tell the whole story. Of course, it would take too long, but I ask you off the air, Sharon, if you wanted to tell people one thing, if you wanted to know them to know one thing about the House of Chimes, which is a business that has put out a lot of chimes and a lot of cups and is sold across the United States, is sold to the military, has sold to private businesses and chains. I ask you, what would you want people to know? The main thing, what's the main lesson or main idea you'd like to communicate? And you said...
Oh, what I said was it takes commitment.
Hard work is
hard
what you
work
said.
And commitment. And if you may be out there till 11 o'clock at night.
So this is kind of going back towards the American dream. What have you found out about making a successful business?
Well,
I mean, you find out things when you do a business, I'm sure you find out that the public is tough, that it's hard to deal with retailers at times. Sometimes you get a product and it's sold and you don't get paid for months and months. There's all kind of different lessons that you learn, but the lesson about building a business, has it been worthwhile for you?
Oh yes, I think it has been.
Are you proud of it, the business you made?
Oh, I'm very proud of our business.
It makes very high-quality things. Somebody's thinking about building their own business. It's not in chimes or cups or whatever, but they've got an idea. What kind of advice would you give to them? What direction or leadership?
Well, first of all, I'm going to ask them, have they checked the market? That's the first thing you need to find out.
You want to find out if the thing you're trying to offer is already out there.
It's already out there, or if people are interested in buying it. First thing you need to do. Second thing, well, I'm going to say, like I've told a lot of people that have asked me about it, is commitment. And can you make the product enough for supply and demand?
So the lady came up to you and said, for example, I make these little bracelets. Should I go into business? And you said to her...
I said to her, can you make 1,000 of them a month?
And her eyes bugged out.
Yes, definitely. And she said, no. And I said, well, then forget it.
Did she leave in tears?
No, she didn't. She thanked me, and she, to this day, still has not done it.
Not surprising.
No, not surprising at all, because it's supply and demand, and you've got to be able to make it.
How do you get funding for a business?
Well, I'll tell you what. We funded our own. And when we started out, we funded it ourselves. You can go to the Better Business Bureau. You can go to a bank. But the bank, you're paying them the interest, so do it yourself.
You're giving up some of your profit on the interest.
Correct.
All right, and your business has been growing each year, kind of a thing?
Oh, yes, it has. It's amazing.
Can you keep up with demand?
Yes. That's one thing we've been able to do.
And I know that at one point you had a number of salespeople, and then you, because of the internet, I think you ended up losing those.
Correct.
Yeah, but yes. You still have somebody helping you in the kiln, in the shop.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And we do now have one salesperson in Texas. But it's the internet now,
yeah.
And that's what they're doing. People are now sending their email or their emails to us, wanting to know about the company, send them the brochures and things like that.
All right. So, what is the number of people are interested in seeing your stuff? Maybe they want to sell it in their business. What's the number for House of Chimes?
It's 575-373-9007.
And what if somebody called up and wanted to just get some advice on business, putting a business together, would you?
Sure.
Okay. Talking to the House of Chimes, Monty and Sharon Jarvis, and they're friends of mine, and they were telling me the story. I had them in my office one day, and we were talking about all of the stuff they had gone through to build their business. And I thought, wow, that'd be a great story because it's local, and it's you know, it's successful, and it's kind of the American dream. It is... 7:52. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And we're going to come back and just pick the Jarvis brain a little bit more on this. It's Kelly, of course, and 7:55 on the button. I've got Sharon and Monty Jarvis on with House of Chimes, which is up in Oregon. Now, Monty, your experience with this business, has it been worth it?
Oh, yes.
It's, why?
Well, it's interesting to find the people you go talk to out in the field, and you learn a lot of things. You learn new ideas, and you put it all together. When you get back in the shop, you say, well, can we do this? And we learn that we can do it. Like, I went to Roswell, and a guy says, can you make an alien for me?
An alien? I'm going to assume that it was outer space and not an illegal alien.
Right. So I went back and I said, can we make a decal? So I have an artist, and he drew up the sketch. I sent it to California, which does our custom work. And we had it made and sent it back to him. And since then, it's been a gold mine. They do about $1,200 a month in aliens.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Okay, so if someone wants to put their own business together, number one, see if there's a need in the market. And this is not just for products. It's also for services. Number two, how do you check on your finance? How do you put a business plan together? Briefly.
Well, very carefully to start with.
Very carefully. And you're not going to get it right, but you want to have a ballpark idea.
Ballpark idea, right.
All right. And then you're kind of putting it all into play and everything. And you say the main thing after that is that you're willing to work hard.
Correct.
Okay. And now, when you guys drive around, you're doing your own business, but you see all these empty shops in town. Do you ever say to yourself, I know a business that would work, or I have a business, you know, there's things that we don't have in this town that I think that would work if somebody gave it a shot? You ever say that to yourself?
No.
No, because you would have opened that business maybe.
Right.
All right. But I think that compared to other cities of this side, we are lacking, you know.
Yes, but, you know, it's ceramic shops aren't even doing anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time, and they're not even.
Huh.
And people just aren't into it, I guess.
Well, they're into your stuff.
They are, but it's already made. But yet, we don't want a retail shop.
Yeah, well, that makes it easier then.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you guys coming on, the Jarvis, for coming on and talking about your experience, House of Chimes. And one more time, the phone number to get in contact.
Is 573-9007.
All right. And the Jarvis, if you have an interest in maybe ordering something for your business, or to maybe talk about what it takes to an actual business owner who did it from scratch without being an expert. Well, thanks for tuning in today. It's the Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I've got a bunch of stuff, as you realize, that I didn't cover today, but I thought it was interesting. The story about the guy that had the sex change and said that it just didn't do what he thought it would. And if you listen to more of his stories, Walt Heyer, he said that they barely did any psychological research into him whatsoever, that the therapist and the doctor just basically said, well, let's give it a shot. So Bruce Jenner is probably got a hard road in front of him. Thanks for tuning in. And 7:59. Have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. That, by the way, is Blog Talk Radio, where this show.